I'm going to start recording right now. This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. You listeners are used to this by now. My name is Sheila Q. Do you want to approach, Stefan? Stefan Bissett's here, but he's sitting so far back and we're sharing a mic. So, oh, I love that sound. That's not me. And then we are opening the door of the great Greeky mansion. In studio with us this evening are Ian Kerr and, oh, Petya, I can't remember how to pronounce your last name.
Yeah, I'm just Petya.
That'll probably do.
Morozov.
Oh, see, that's good. Now, why would you not want, we need that. Yael's here too, who's also been on the air before, here with us at DH Radio. Now, a couple of months ago, remind me of the date, guys. Was it like
February 19th.
We decided, and you guys heard us talk about this quite excitedly after we attended a blind feast. And at first we were like, oh man, you know what's in our kind of ADD-ness? Let's not read everything and think, are we going to go to somewhere like Au Noir in Montreal and eat in the dark and be served by blind people? And then we're like, no, let's read what's actually going to happen. And then it turned out that we didn't know what was going to happen. And that was the blindness. So it was that we didn't know who was going to be there. We didn't know what we were going to eat, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And that was so exciting for me, I was beside myself.
You know, and what was great for us is we also didn't know what we were going to, if we were going to even have any food. Because we, as part of the shared blindness, we asked one of the curators to drop a string on the map. And the string would be 4 kilometers long, you know, the version of it, the map.
Yeah.
And then she would walk that and just ask people for food. But, you know, within the theme of the project. And so, you know, she thought, well, I'm not going to get anything. And we thought, well, you know, maybe there won't be much. But it turned out that we had, you know, 60 people came and we had enough food for like 200.
It was crazy the amount of food. There was food was the decoration of the evening, you know? So the way we heard about this was through Yale and through the Community Art Lab, through Forman Art Gallery at Bishop's University. And the idea of something like this that had this community adventure aspect to it was really appealing to us. So we went, had a blast, ate like crazy, talked about the concepts of developing things. I loved the idea of, I've thought about lateral development ever since that evening, the idea of not building something necessarily up where you're going, you have to do this thing and that step and this thing and acquire this and accumulate and pile up, but kind of go sideways in the idea of kind of use what you have and find like all the stuff that's here and make it. So there's a sideways, I'm doing a sideways motion while I, with my hands that you can't see.
You look like you're
hands
surfing.
Moving, handy surfing thing. I have no balance. I'd probably be quite bad at that, but I may have to try it one day. So we had this fantastic experience, and now there is a follow-up that's taking place this week. Now tell us what is to come. I know the name is Eat Your Sidewalk, and I was like, there's kind of like a Cookie Monster kind of, I was like, I think I want there to be a Sesame Street character that, like, it's like Oscar and Cookie Monster together, you know.
It was really great, actually, when the invitation went out for tomorrow evening's event at Le Tremplin, that some people were already trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah.
And so they're taking liberties, which we actually really enjoy how people are interpreting it. But if we were to give a little bit of a hint as to what it is, well, just to back up, we've been here since Monday morning, really, meeting more of this incredible community and trying to evolve, in a sense, what's already here into something that everyone won't even be able to expect or anticipate its outcome. But how things get sort of put together and connected in ways that even we're not sure how they get connected or for what reason is all sort of happening under this one umbrella to put on an event in June, from June 9th to June 16th, 2012. And it's a challenge. It's a 7-day challenge.
So the idea is literally eat your sidewalk. And what we're hoping to do as a concrete challenge is to get
concrete
people
sidewalk. Go Ian, go.
Is to not buy anything, but to simply find what's edible under your feet, what's edible in your surroundings, what's edible in your community, and to start looking there rather than starting with the idea that, you know, food is a product, it's a resource. And we wanted to make this kind of fun, but a slightly crazy challenge, and make it long enough, like, you know, 7 days. It's not like just learn how to forage or do it for an afternoon, but long enough that would really break old habits around consuming and how we think of these things, and recenter yourself in these new practices that really see how the stuff under your feet makes you and shapes you and makes our world, and to shift that kind of paradigm and do it in a really fun way, and do it like in a group way. So in June, we'll have a kind of headquarters that'll be in this park. And we'll be, you know, each day there'll be a challenge, like a unique challenge. There'll be workshops on different parts, and then there'll be a meal in the evening. And then, you know, it'll be on to the next day. And at the end, we'll have a huge festival. You can follow it online. There'll be blogging.
Oh, yeah. There's eatyoursidewalk.com, which if you went there now, it's going to be a little
sparse.
Not spurs, sparse, but stuff. Sparse. we're thinking that there's really three ways to get involved. There's the first way is to take on the challenge, to really, like, see how your life can take a new course. And we mean that not just conceptually, we mean like literally, like to see how even just a part of your day in these 7 days is just going to, you know, take on something that's going to be uncomfortable, unusual. That blind faith is going to come back and sort of like keep you on course to see how you can stay committed to something. That's that 7-day challenge. And at the end of 7 days, there's going to be an incredible surprise prize that we'll announce at the very end. But then there's other ways to get involved. There's daily challenges where you don't have to take on the full 7 days, but there might be daily challenges. And you can stay involved.
So you could look at the programming, essentially. Find the day you're really interested in the concepts, and you could come to that whole thing.
Right. And then the workshops that Ian was referring to are workshops that are actually going to be put on by community members that are already here. And we'll be there, you know, guiding, but mostly like,
participating
and seeing how these things get incrementally more interesting. And then that third level of participation is actually where people are just really interested to see,
support,
how they can be supportive in either like donating foods, donating their front yards, donating their skills. And so that kind of level of challenge we imagine to be what people are already doing, and to see what happens when it gets focused in this particular week.
Wow. I'm just like, I've felt myself, my imagination totally growing and exploding again. It's the greatest feeling ever. Tell me about where you guys geographically live and how... what it's like for, if you can answer that, and what it's like for you to come out to a place like being in the townships to organize something like this. Are you experiencing cultural differences between the two and that sort of thing? So where would you consider your home base?
Hmm. Well, we're in New Jersey. We're just outside New York.
The two of us are.
The mm-hmm. two of us. And yeah, we should say the collective... Sparse is a collective, and we're, you know, part of the term is we're really dispersed. We're all over the states. There's a couple people in Canada and a person in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But for us, we live in New Jersey. And astonishing about New Jersey is that it's both the most polluted place on the planet Earth and it has like incredible biodiversity. And so for us, it's not like oppositions, but they're completely entangled. The kind of toxic industrial systems, these incredible swamps and marshes. So there's dense populations of people, toxins, bacteria, migrating birds, fish, all of that. And it's all in one spot. And I think that's what really interests us, is it's sort of like our reality today looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to figure out how to live in and with and shape and change. We can't anymore pretend there's like some perfect area and then there's some human area. And so I think coming up to Sherbrooke is really interesting because we're finding the same kind of people dealing with the same kind of questions, really interesting groups working on these, Les Amis de Terre,
mm-hmm.
The community gardens. And so the basic idea we've come up with is really entirely inspired by the people we've met here who are sort of thinking in these same ways. And, you know, we'd meet with people, then we'd go back and think, and then we'd bring the idea back to them and go, well, what do you think? And they'd add something and change it. And then we were like, well, how do we, put something in there that could connect all of those dots of all of these different interesting groups? And so that was, and how to make it reach out to a larger audience. And so that was really, you know, I think Petya, you really pushed for making something like a festival, this challenge that would be, it wouldn't just be like workshops, it would be something people could get really passionate about.
Yeah, I think in some ways, the idea that we can overcome whatever sort of huge, gigantic, you know, aspiration, like let's build a community, is also fraught with a lot of things where, you know, if it doesn't happen from within, it's not going to stick. And so we certainly understand that we understand that part, but we also think that sometimes sometimes the vibrancy of a place is hard to see from within, and
yes.
So mm-hmm. So we're really inspired by that, and inspired by, in a sense, putting the right sort of mirror back onto the community in a way that they're also not just seeing themselves, but they're seeing their future selves. And so then there's the other part, which is why 7 days, is that we're also trying to take on the challenge that change can actually happen much faster than we think. And when we're not waiting for, like, we're not waiting for the 2000-year version of ourselves, we're building upon something that can happen right now. And that idea of eat your sidewalk is really trying to look precisely at the world right under your feet, literally. And so for this to be happening in Sherbrooke is because of the people who are already here, but we'd really like to see this as a movement that becomes international.
Sort of like it's begun here,
yeah,
and it goes.
It's one of the things that I think is so interesting about this is there's sort of a permission slip to be a part of a community in this.
Yeah. Because
you cannot feel like a citizen of anything.
No.
You know, you can kind of just feel like that floating little thing that Horton the elephant had to save.
Yeah.
You know, or feel like Horton. You know, I've got this thing. It kind of feels like there's people on it, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
You know, and whatever the message was there in the long run. The idea of giving a person a permission slip to feel like, I really believe when you look at the hierarchy of human needs and what people really need, I just, sense of belonging is so powerful to me. And I feel like once there is something that a person is made to feel of value and that their ideas matter and that there's kind of like a thematic shift towards something that is community living and community based, it's just so cool to,
yeah.
Makes people come alive.
You know, and I mean, for us, what's so great is, like, if you eat that dandelion on the street, like, the first kind of community you join is it. You know, like, it's, you're of the dandelion. Whatever happened to it, you know, is happening to you. And so you, and then, you know, if other people are looking for dandelions and they want to eat that one too, now you have to talk to people. You have to negotiate. You have to figure things out. And so it's kind of like a community where there's an urgency, there's a need, there's actually something that brings you together. And then there's just all the pleasures where, like, maybe you know a certain way of making a dandelion wine. I know how to make a kind of dandelion coffee. There's these exchanges, you know, and it goes across generations where, you know, our grandparents really know how to do these things. You know, our kids are really curious. You know, and it crosses all of those barriers suddenly. And I mean, to us, that's where it really comes alive.
Well, and it also comes alive in the skills that, in a sense, are teasing out what's here. This, and we certainly go to school to learn certain skills to come out doing a certain thing. And that kind of one-to-one correlation that, in a sense, is the model of our worldview, where, you know, business management degree produces a business manager. And that kind of commodity thinking where everything has a specific purpose and with a specific outcome has rendered us a bit skillless, where we are, or de-skilled.
Or like with expectations.
Expectations.
I worked in job placement for the last year and a half, and I can tell you pretty seriously that a business administration graduate is probably not going to be somebody who necessarily is doing all of the things that they so-called studied to do, you know? And so it's really interesting to be able to be open to stuff, or also not to feel tied to some of our titles or those expectations. It's funny, when you were talking about the dandelion, I was thinking earlier this week, I was going for a walk with my boys, and my youngest, who's 6 and a half, picked a dandelion and gave it to me, and he was pretty excited, and then he thought it was a sunflower. And I thought it was really interesting that the idea that of the, what is it to you? Like, what do you think it is? And I think he thought, here you go, this thing is going to get huge, Mom. You know, so go put this in water, like, now. You know, and it was like, it doesn't matter that it's not going to grow any bigger. This is, dandelions are so cool. You know, so I like the idea of perception of what that that thing is at all, you know?
You know, and it's so great. I mean, one of the big parts that excites us is like how that leads you to take everything in your world as that potential. Like, so you know, your coffee cup isn't just for coffee, but, you know, we already use it like as a cookie cutter, a paperweight, but like you could break it, reform it, reshape it. Like, nothing is just what it is.
You know, that goes for people too.
Oh yeah.
It's we should say that one of our most inspiring sort of spiritual guides in this project is a gentleman by the name of Jason Crepin, and
who lives out in Georgeville.
He's got to be the most radical guy we have ever come across, Sherbrooke and outside, because he's got a kind of radical practicality to him. If he needs it, he makes it. And
from whatever. So fantastic.
And he and if he doesn't have the tool to remake something into something else, he makes the tool to make the remaking
thing into something else.
And so he begins with something that you just, in our world of like being able to shop for the very thing that you need, in our world we don't pause and make that kind of, you know, statement to ourselves. And here he is, like, not figuring out what something is, but what it can be or what it can do. And as somebody who is not just a musician, he's not just a potter, he's all of those things, but then beyond that, he's reconceptualizing what it means to see your world, like the what you were saying about our perception. It is truly coming down to the worldview that you are in. And sometimes you're so locked into the system that made you, it's hard to break that cycle.
Or to feel like there is a path and an order to things, that if you step outside of it, you're kind of not only changing the order in which things are supposed to happen, and you're and inevitably, of course, leading to chaos. Yeah. But you're possibly destabilizing the paths of those around you who might get a little nervous about you stepping out of the so-called path or line that's perceived there.
Well, that's what happened that night, right? At Blind Feast. I mean, I think we took on that, you know, maybe more precise inquiry into the conversation with everyone about, like, what sort of risks are you taking to be here? And then that led to us, in a sense, opening up the possibility that it is actually important for us to take risks. But what are the risks worth taking?
And then it was, you know, for days after that, one of the biggest parts of our conversations with other friends who were present was the definition of risk. We talked so for good. Days and days about the definition of risk, and that really stuck. Like, you know, so it can wind up being, it's like, hi, listeners. I just felt like I had to acknowledge you guys. By the way, this is Petya and Ian of Spurs. If you want more information about Spurs, just Google Spurs, S-P-U-R-S-E. Or is it Spurs.com?
Spurs.org.
.org. That's it. Spurs, S-P-U-R-S-E .org for more information. The thing that I want to reassure everybody who's contemplating the idea of coming to participate in the event that's tomorrow evening at the Tremplin 1630. What's the time on that again?
From 6 to 8 or 9.
And that's at 95 Wellington South. Man, I remember that from February. So you should just come. And the interesting thing about it is come and observe. Come and just come with yourself and see what happens, because the really interesting thing about being involved in something like this is, number one, I think the idea of stone soup, where it's you feel like you're kind of making something from nothing. If you like the stone soup idea, imagine this is like stone community, like, you know. It's not stone soup.
We need a tagline, Sheila.
There you go. You got it. Yeah. It's my gift to you. It's the idea. Now, just imagine, you know, that you're kind of like, oh, and one person brought a carrot, one person brought a turnip, and one person brought a potato. But when this kind of thing is like the building and creating of the world, so it's really...
It feels, I mean, this is a great spirit of Sherbrooke, like with everything we've done here over the last, I mean, we've been working on this for about a year, but where everybody's like bringing something to it, and it's really been that stone soup analogy. And so the, you know, eat your sidewalk as this challenge really is the product of a stone soup. You know, so I guess tomorrow night our hope is to have people come who are really interested in, say, maybe offering a workshop or having an idea or a thought about what it could include, skill sets they have. So in the stone soup model, they're bringing those to the table. And we're going to just kind of introduce the ideas and the concept and serve a kind of nice light foraged meal. And then just have this larger discussion where everybody joins in with their ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I think we shouldn't forget either in all of this that the true call that we feel we were answering, and we're still in the process of answering, and hopefully it doesn't get fully answered, is the one that Forman Art Gallery, and in particular Yael and Jean-Tien, both sort of posing the question, how does art teach, to launch a three-year residency, a three-year research project that our residency, we just feel really fortunate that we have maybe not so much answered it, but just maybe see a certain course that research can take.
It's momentum, just I think if you feel that spark of momentum, that's the key to making it roll and grow. And
I think, I mean, there's just, you know, this week on Saturday, we're also hosting another event, which is going to actually touch directly on what Petya was saying, how does art teach?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to actually present a bit more of our own practice, our previous projects, where, you know, we've done things from make microbiological laboratories, like treat museums as bacteria ecosystems, to run restaurants, to work with fishing communities, like out at the deep sea level, as art projects. And so we're going to talk about those and what our thinking is and have a discussion. And that's going to be on Saturday.
Yeah, it's Saturday at Café Tassé, which is in Sherbrooke, at 426 Rue Conseil.
Okay, so that's in the east. In the east part, is Conseil in the east part of Sherbrooke?
You just
okay.
go on King East and you go up the hill.
And then take Conseil from there.
Conseil, yeah.
Okay, 426 Conseil. And Café Tassé.
Café Tassé.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll cover the coffee.
Yes.
That's great. The one thing about the Eastern Townships is if there's food, they will come.
Yeah.
It's kind of the big thing. Thank you so much, guys. This is I feel like the most exciting thing about Spurs is that it's constant awakenings. That's cool.
Yeah. For us too.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. I didn't realize I was such a morning person. Awakenings at night too. Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Once again, for more information, consult www.spurse.org. And tomorrow night, the Tremplé 16:30 from 6 to 8. And that's at 95 Wellington South. Come and eat your sidewalk, would you? All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.